And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
The words that we began with this morning reminded us of the primary importance of putting God first in our lives. The Ten Commandments starts with those commandments. It's been thought of as two tables. The top table is thinking about our duty to God. The second is our duty towards our neighbor. And often that word duty sounds cold and hard and distant to us. It's wonderful to have that summary of what the law is from God's perspective. It's out of love. We know him as our creator, as our provider, as the one who sustains us in our lives, the one who sent his son, we were saying these things earlier, the one who wants us to know him, come into a relationship, to be in him in our lives, to know him, his companionship in our lives, as the ideal, the perfect parent, starts off with being connected with him and then flowing on from there into our lives with our fellow man as well. So it's so important that we put God first in our lives. That's why it's wonderful to have a dedication service like this, where there's that desire on the parents of Christiane, giving him that name in Christ. Parents want to dedicate this child to God, honoring God and his gift to them. And then that second need is to requirement is to love our fellow mankind as we love ourselves. And top of the list, top of the requirements, is to honor and to love our father and mother. It reveals to us the importance of the role of parents from God's perspective. It reveals to us that in God's way of thinking, the right foundation to build our lives as a society, it begins in the home. It's interesting to note that in Bible times, and from the perspective that the Bible gives us, the title father and mother is also used to include all those that God has placed in a position of authority over us. Deborah who was raised as a judge in Israel, is described as a mother in Israel. King Saul, David, who was going to be the king to replace Saul, knew God was calling him to replace Saul, addresses King Saul as father. See, something of the respect that he had towards him. So the title father and mother is also used to include all those that God has placed in authority over us in the church, pastors, elders, deacons, also mature believers, fathers and mothers, in government, be they king, queen, politicians, those who uphold the law, the police force, the magistrates, those over us in our employment, those who teach our children, teachers, all in authority, are to fulfill those responsibilities in a fatherly and in a motherly way. And the idea, norm for ideal for God is under his counsel and wisdom connected to him, that's the best way that we can fulfill the responsibilities that God has for us. But the primary emphasis in this commandment is focused on the role of parents in the home, where the foundation of all human relationships are formed. So why does God bestow such honor and importance upon the home? Well, it's because of the important role that parents play in shaping lives. In an article on the important role of parents in child development, it says parents ultimately have the most influence on their children. One of the very best predictors of a child's self-esteem, school success, and a rewarding life is a secure, open, and loving relationship with his or her parent. A child with a secure attachment carries the feelings of being loved, respected, and guided by their parent throughout their entire lifespan. While genetics, experiences, temperament, and many other factors contribute to a child's personality, secure attachments lay the foundation for it all. Attachment shapes children's interactions with their peers, their sense of security about exploring the world, their resilience to stress, their ability to balance their emotions, and their capacity to create meaningful interpersonal relationships for the future. We see how significant a role parents play in their children's lives and the future generation of our nation through the unique relationship and bond they have with them. And the secure, open, and loving relationship they nurture them in. We see how important parents are to the well-being of a society. And if we've had secure and open and loving relationships with our parents, then we should thank God for that. But it's important to remember that these commandments are given in the context of people, of parents, living in and being nurtured themselves by a secure and open and loving relationship and attachment with God, their Creator. And as parents, we need that attachment with God. And if God and His far greater love and security that He brings is at the center of our lives, then families are resourced in an even greater way to shape the lives of our children, shape the future generation in our country. Within that parental role, parents also have the responsibility to guide and instruct their children, to try and prepare them for life, to impress upon them values and ways of behavior that we feel are right and appropriate. And we see this expressed in Proverbs 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. They are a garland like a flower on to grace your head, and a chain like jewelry to adorn your neck. And Christian parents have an important opportunity and responsibility to raise their children with the knowledge of God and Christian values, which hopefully they will remain with them for the rest of their lives. As Proverbs 22:6 indicates, train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn away from it. According to Malachi chapter 2:15, God desires godly children from the marriage union. And that should be our chief goal as Christian parents for our children. Yes, we want them to be happy. We want them to be all that they can be. And we want them to have good jobs and settle well in the future. But our greatest desire should be that they honor and resemble God, their Heavenly Father, and that they put Him first in their lives, recognizing the enormous influence we have on our children. We should do all that we can to influence and nurture them to that end. And if you were brought up in such a home as I was, where our parents sought to do that, we should thank God for that great privilege and honor the parents and honor the background that we were blessed with. There's a further way that we can honor and respect. Reason why we should is because of the love and the sacrifices parents make for the children. Seeking to influence and nurture children going in the right way takes time. It takes hard work, takes patience, takes perseverance and understanding and love and finances, and requires sacrifices being made in so many ways. Sacrifice is really the definition of parenting, really what it's all about. According to the Times, the average cost of raising a child from birth to 18 in the UK is £223,256. This includes housing and childcare costs. That's around £12,400 a year or £1,030 a month. And it's when children reach 18 and begin considering higher education that the real costs begin to kick in. University fees for home students in the UK have risen to £9,250 a year, with a total average cost of £27,750 per student to achieve an undergraduate degree. And if you're living in this area, there's an expectation they go higher than that, all the way up to the masters and beyond, PhD. Well, as a child growing up, you're blissfully unaware most of the time of the demands and challenges your parents face and take all that we have for granted. You're in this protective bubble. When you embark on parenting yourself, you have a different appreciation for your parents and all they've done for you and all the sacrifices that they have made for you and continue to make for you, because they love and care for you and want the best for you. So it's right that we honor our parents and all those in a wider family and society who express love and make sacrifices for our well-being, our spiritual well-being. So we honor, respect parents because of the sacrifices, also because of the blessing associated with honoring them. God promises to bestow a blessing that they would live long in the land of Canaan. But if you go to Ephesians chapter 6, it says that it may be well with you and may you may live long on the earth. So it's got a wider application, not just specifically to the children of Israel and the land of Canaan that God was giving them, but in that promise, God was promising his people peace, security, provision, and even end of length of life. What a blessing for those who honor their parents. Length of life part is generally true. It's not universally true. There have been children who honored their parents who the Lord took home while they were young. We know many instances of that in our lives. But generally, it's true. They're enjoying the long life of heaven. What you can say is you will be blessed. There will be a blessing if you honor your father and mother. You will be blessed. Question for us, how can we give our parents and those God has placed over us, how can we give them respect and reverence? We shared our home with a Korean family for 8 months. What a respect the parents have for their elders and seek to install in their children. Can you imagine this happening in your family? Maybe it does, I don't know. Every morning, the children bow down to their parents, expressing thanks. The parents would do likewise to their parents and grandparents. That's what happens in Korean culture. At mealtimes, the eldest are always served first. The younger generation would not disagree with an older person. It's quite interesting. That it's very important, if you get to know Korean people, they want to know your age. They want to know who's the elder so that they give respect towards that. And we've experienced this with Nigerians as well. They want to teach and express respect for their elders. And we see this expressed in Scripture. King Solomon, when his mother Bathsheba came to see him, he stood up to meet her. He bowed down to her and sat down on his throne. In fact, he had a throne brought for her, and she sat down at his right hand. Well, we would say that was over the top. In many ways, it was cultural, but it was an expression of deep reverence and respect for his mother. And as a society, I think that we've gone too much the other way, elevating the importance of children, in many cases spoiling them, to the extent that our younger generation often have little reverence and respect for parents, for that older generation, and authority in general. We need to show our children love and try to teach them respect. How is respect expressed? God's word reveals that having reverence and respect for parents means that we should never mock them or scorn them or curse them or speak evil or physically attack our parents. To dishonor parents and their authority in any of those ways was considered very serious. In the nation of Israel, it was considered a terrible thing. It was contrary to nature, and the judgment meted out was most severe. Proverbs 20, verse 20, if a man curses his father or mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. And we even read words like this, Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocks a father, the scorn that scorns obedience to a mother will be pecked out by ravens of the valley, will be eaten by vultures. That's strong language. Instead, we should honor our parents, those in authority over us. Speak well of them. Show courtesy to them. And by expressing genuine love towards them, a children's love for parents should be a natural thing. There's no shame in children expressing love or affection to their parents. It was something I struggled to verbally say to my parents, that I love them. Never said it to my father. Said it to my mother only as I was about to leave home and come here. 2011, I was I was brought up. Yeah, action speaks louder than words. But it's important to express it with our lips as well. So I managed, it was a struggle to get those words out. I think my parents, old school, struggled to say that to me. I don't know if I heard them actually say that they loved me. But when I said to my mother that I loved her, the immediate response was, yes, I love you too. You know? It's important to express love to your children. And it should be a genuine love, not for what you can get out of it, but as an estimation of their worth. Children, express appreciation. I'm hoping that my son, when he comes back from Australia, will have a wonderful appreciation of home and the comforts and the provision. He's having to get little wee gifts of money over in the far country. So hopefully he'll come back and say, oh, what a wonderful home and all the blessings of home life. So let's honor our parents and those that God has placed over us, and those mature, older, wiser in the faith than us, by regularly expressing our appreciation and love for them. Secondly, by repaying the love and the care and the sacrifices they have made, by caring for them and providing for them when they are in need, particularly when they are elderly or if they are widowed. 1 Timothy 4, if a widow has children or grandchildren, they should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandchildren. For this is pleasing to God. And so doing, we're honoring them. It's pleasing to God. It's so easy to be absorbed with the busyness of our own lives. It's important to care and provide for our parents in ways that we can when they themselves are in need, because of the weighty value that we place on them, because of the love and the care and the sacrifices that they have made for us. And lastly, obeying their commands, submitting to the discipline, training, and counsel. In today's society, obedience and submission are archaic words, negative words, and concepts. Connotations of authoritarianism, perceived as suppressing the growth and development of our personalities, our unique, our identity, our freedom, and our rights. However, we know, do we, that a world without law and order leads to chaos, confusion, disharmony, and disunity. So God, for the good and blessing and smooth running of our society and the individual lives, he establishes laws and order to which we are to submit for his sake, for our good, beginning with him, God, the ultimate authority. and out of reverence to him, obey the authorities that he has set in place for our good, as long as they're not asking you to do something which is contrary to God's will revealed in the Bible. And if it does, then we can respectfully question it and disagree with it, but we do so in the right way as well. Parents have a greater influence and authority when we are growing up and are still living in the home. Before we go off and to university to get a flat of our own, start work, get married, where our allegiance is primarily to our wife and to our children. When we leave home and start having a family of our own, we realize how much they have done for us. We find ourselves seeking out their counsel and experience in a greater, more active way than before. And the respect increases. I see Mike and Ava. Mike got a little bit of a nod of recognition. Yes, it's right that we should continue to show respect and love for them throughout our lives, even though we've left home. So this morning we've learned how important the role of parenting is to God, how important it is to society. We've learned how God would want parents to lovingly nurture and care and train up children that he has entrusted them with. And yes, relying on all the supports that are available in this world, but supremely, and tracing every good gift back to God. We should rely on God more than anyone else. We should depend on him, depend on his love, depend on his counsel, depend on his power, and seek his blessing upon our lives and upon our children, upon our families. And as we sang earlier, wasn't it, that your word would be a lamp to our feet, would be a light to our path as we seek to live for him in our lives. Whether God gifted you with a partner and with the ability to have children or not. Some may be called to be single, but you can serve God. You can serve God and give the gifts and talents that is given to you back to him. Dedicate them. Offer yourselves to his service.